Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm Jim Simmons and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. We believe that tonight's program will be a blessing to you. We have a talented and gifted guest joining us tonight. But first, let's begin our program the right way by going to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to superintend our time together this evening. We also ask that you would bless our special guest this evening, not only as he shares with us, but as he continues to use his talents and gifts to touch lives through you. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Just wonderful, Jim. I thank you for that kind introduction, especially the prayer. Approaching our program the right way by inviting God in to that moment. Also want to thank those who are kind enough to join us and also realize many are able to join us through the archive due to their work schedules, and we look forward to that as well. We normally, in the first half, would be open to questions, and I just want to let you all know we're very blessed to have a guest with us, and so later in the program we'll be taking questions. But Jim, you know our special guest tonight has touched so many lives and families through his work. In fact, in one sense, he's no stranger to many of our listeners, from TV to movies. He's either starred in or produced programming that many have enjoyed. In fact, in one form or another, we have welcomed him into our homes at different times.
I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. In fact, as he did, he brought hours of joy and spiritual truth to many of our lives.
Our special guest tonight, David A.R. White, has been a working actor and producer in Los Angeles for over 10 years.
At the age of 19, and only 6 months after moving to Los Angeles, David landed a reoccurring role on the hit TV CBS sitcom Evening Shade for 3 years. David then went on to guest appearances on such shows as Coach, Saved by the Bell, Sisters, Melrose Place, Merrill Law, and many others.
Raised in the church, David was very familiar with Christian films, but had a passion to make films that uplift and inspire the human spirit. In 1999, with that passion, David produced and starred in the feature-length film, The Moment After. The following year, he produced and starred in Mercy Streets.
Then in early 2006, David became a founding partner in the film distribution production entity, Pure Flix Entertainment. His other film credits include 6, The Mark, Unleashed, The Visitation, Hidden Secrets, Holy Man Undercover, Run On, Marriage Retreat, Jerusalem Countdown, and the film Me Again. David's producer credits include The Wager, In the Blink of an Eye, Sarah's Choice, starring Rebecca St. James, and What If?
And David's passion has always been to further the Christian faith-based genre with excellence in every way. His love for the Lord has governed the projects that he is a part of. David and his wife, Andrea Logan, who is an actress and producer as well, live in Los Angeles with their 2 children. So on behalf of Ask the Pastor, I'm pleased to welcome David A.R. White. David, how are you this evening?
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a real blessing. I wonder if you'd take a moment and share with us how you came to know Jesus Christ as Savior.
Yeah, you know, I was blessed to have a my dad was a pastor growing up, and so I came to the Lord at a really early age. I was 4 years old, and I was presented the opportunity at an early age, and of course, you know, as you grow and grow in your faith, as well as I grew up, God obviously worked on me in my heart a lot, and my dad put me through the Navigator 27 series when I was in high school to disciple me. And yeah, so anyway, since I was young.
David, I heard you say in an interview on one occasion that you felt that God had put a dream and a desire to be in the entertainment industry in your life. I think that anyone who is seeking God in their vocation needs that. Would you share some of your feelings about the idea of the passion or call of God in your life?
Yeah, I struggled a lot with when I grew up in a small town in Kansas and went to Moody Bible Institute, where my entire family in Chicago, Illinois, where my entire family had gone, graduated, and met their significant others there to study the Bible. And, of course, my entire family was in ministry, either in missions or in pastoral. And so I went there for a year because my dad had always set out that you go there for a year at least because he wanted all of his kids to study the Bible, which I think was great. And I did that, and after that year, I came to the conclusion that I felt like I needed to, there was this thing inside of me to move to Los Angeles to be in the entertainment industry. And of course, growing up in Kansas on the farm, that never was at all cultivated at all. You know, there was no acting, there really was no theater troupe in my high school at all. I never had an acting class, never met a professional actor or someone in the film industry. And I'd only seen, because I grew up in the Mennonite community, I'd only seen one movie in a theater the first 18 years of my life.
Wow.
So everything about the film industry, I was on the way other side of it. And there was really no reason or cultivation of that, you know, to have that desire.
Mm.
But I felt like, after praying about it and seeking the Lord, you know, at that year after Moody, I felt like I was supposed to call my dad, and I did. And I said, "Dad, I want to leave Bible school, and I want to go to Hollywood to be an actor."
And that just really warmed him up, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you can imagine there was a long silence on the phone because my parents, you know, never really. My dad had always said, well, the only person I ever told that I had a desire to be in the film industry and to be an actor were my parents. Other than that, I never told anybody in high school just because of, you know, it was like, hey, I want to be an astronaut or, you know, something so far away. And my father had always said, well, you can't do that because you don't know how to sing and you don't know how to dance. And I was like, yeah, well, because I'm a Mennonite. We don't dance. But it comes back to this whole idea that does God put these desires in your heart? And I believe that he does. And I believe that he did that for me. And I, even though I didn't understand it at the time, and I actually felt almost bad about pursuing this because I wanted to leave Bible school, I wanted to leave studying the Bible, and I wanted to go to Hollywood to be an actor, like the most selfish profession on the planet, you know, one of the most self-obsessed professions. That's what I felt like I wanted to do. And so, of course, for many years, I never, ever would say, you know, I felt God calling me or I believe that I'm supposed to do this. You know, I didn't want to over-spiritualize it because, I, to be honest, I had no idea whether or not it was my idea or God's idea. I had this burning desire in my heart, and I prayed about it, and it never went away, and so I acted upon that desire.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, after being here many years and seeing how the Lord kind of took that and has led me along the way to exactly where he wants me to be, because I believe that you bend your knee before him, you say, God, take my life, use it to, you know, it's yours. This talent is yours, this whatever you gave me is yours, and I submit to that, then it allows God to use it. And that's where I can look back and I can go, you know what, God put those dreams and desires in my heart. And I believe that he does that with everybody now. And even if those dreams and desires, as long as they don't obviously go against Scripture, then listen to those, because it's probably God telling you something through those desires.
And David, that's a great answer, because you know what I love about that is that to realize that you have the opportunity to contact people that a pastor in the pulpit probably won't reach. And so there are doors open to you that God can use and bless and take your life in a very special direction. We're very thankful for that. And, you know, when I think of the faith-based films, we're the ones who are blessed by them, get to enjoy them, even use them as witnessing and ministry tools. And I was just curious, do you get feedback, you know, emails, letters, things of that nature, of how they've touched lives?
Yeah, you know, that's been a cool thing. My father always wanted me to be an evangelist. That's what he always told me growing up. And I always shied way away from that because growing up in the ministry, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was be in the ministry. No offense to you, Pastor, but I understand being a pastor's kid how much you go through, and I don't think most people can realize that unless they've gone through, you know, you really have to have a call in your life to be, you know, to be a pastor and to, certainly to be an evangelist and all of that. So, but I think it's ironic that, you know, and I'm glad that my dad was able to see the film that I've been able to be in and be a part of before he passed. And he saw that the evangelism came out of the films. And I'm always touched and moved and just so grateful to the Lord that he has allowed me to do the desires of my heart, but ultimately for his glory. And then the amazing fruit is to be able to see people whose lives have been transformed and through the film. So I'm just thankful to be part of that.
I bet your dad really enjoyed that too, seeing you at work, and I bet he was really proud. The Revelation Road series is a unique, powerful, and has a great message. I understand that you and Jeff Patterson, the executive producer of the film, discussed the concept while taking your children out trick-or-treating. Is that right?
Oh, wow. Controversy. We're bringing up controversy here. It's just funny because we were actually just discussing the storyline of the other day because we had done another movie where the director didn't believe in Halloween or taking the kids on a trick-or-treat thing. And we have many friends that as well share that same belief. I, of course, shared that belief growing up. And because I was so conservative growing up, I think maybe I take a little more maybe I'm a little more liberal when it comes to those type of things. But yes, that is where the concept and when I in no way am endorsing Halloween, but I do, you know, my kids like to get dressed up, and they do go around to their neighbor and they like to trick or treat. So and out of that, you know, we like to think of Christian movie concepts that can win souls to the Lord.
That's marvelous. Actually, I have no problem with that question for the simple reason I may not care for Halloween that much, but any event that gives you a reason to be able to buy that much chocolate and bring it to your home can't be
right.
Bad. I mean,
right.
There you go.
David, I know that you played the role of Josh in the movie, and how would you describe the message of the movie?
Well, you know, it's a very end time movies. I've been in certainly my share of them. And I like the end time movies because I like the action element, I like the science fiction element. But the ultimate element that I like is that it constantly asks the question, if you were to die tonight, if the rapture occurred today, would you be ready and where would you go? And so for me, it's like a three pack, of awesome of things that I enjoy. And so the theme of the movie, you know, is and the things that we always try to come up with is how can we tell this story that's been told a million times in a million different movies in a different and unique way that is poignant and that will impact lives. And I think we did it on Revelation Road movies. It's actually the outflow of comments back about these two movies has been extraordinary. I think almost as much as the first one I ever did. They're probably probably the same or if not more. I mean, it's been amazing. And I think what it did was it created this everyday man, you know, in a really extreme situation. Obviously, this biker gang is after him,
mm-hmm.
and all he wants to do is go home. And he's running from something, his past, that I think a lot of us can relate to. We're all running from something at some point, and through it, until he basically bends his knee and gives it to God, he doesn't have rest and he doesn't have peace. And that's the ultimate theme of Revelation Road. It is one man's journey to faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in some of those scenes in Revelation Road 2, I saw you looked a little like Chuck Norris to me. And when we were watching it, I said, doesn't he look a little like Chuck Norris? And my wife said, yeah, he does. So I don't know if
Who?
That's a compliment or
Josh
not.
Josh or the Brian Bosworth?
You.
Oh, me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brian didn't look anything like Chuck to me. But in Revelation Road 2, there are a lot of great lines. One I especially like is that you've just come up on the sheriff. People are upset since people are missing. Someone suggests that God was responsible, and you say, what do they call it? The rapture? To which the deputy responds, no way. I'm a Christian, and I'm still here. I was with the mm-hmm. pastor an hour ago. That doesn't make any sense. However, the truth is that it makes a lot of sense. What was the mood of the cast as these kinds of scenes were shot?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, because a lot of some film companies, they only use Christians on their crews and their casts. We, however, feel our mission is in front and behind the camera. It's
wow.
the making of these films. That's very important to us. And so we do not try at all to get Christian crew members. We do try to get, some Christian crew members, and certainly the hierarchs, the producers, directors, the lead casts, people like that. We try to start, you know, with Christians at the top to go down to, and then I think we can set the tone then of what the set is supposed to be like, and then other people can kind of see Christ's love through that. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, the most remarkable thing is, yeah, that is a cool, definitely that's a neat scene, you know. And I think I think that struck a lot of people in an interesting way, because
it
we kind of just take it head on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a great thing.
You say that you're a believer and you go to church, you're not. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to heaven. It's not about that. And
right.
And
right.
We had a lot of conversations about that with people that you know, that we're very clear here that it's not about what you do or say. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's
right.
the only way.
Were there any particular reactions to this? Did you see any that perhaps were not saved? Did you see any changes or questions, or did anyone show an interest in what is this Christianity thing?
Yeah, I well, the interest, you know, I think that the sorry about the dinging. I think the best, not the best example, but certainly one of the biggest examples, or the brightest one, was Brian Bosworth really was not a believer when he started the Revelation Roads.
Mm-hmm.
And he started touring after the first one. He called us up and he said, hey, I got some chiefs that I know in Oklahoma, and you know, that own casinos, and I'd like to take the movie out to some theaters and casinos and churches and, you know, and whoever else wants to do it. And we were like, okay. Sure, I don't know of any of a lot of Christian movies in casinos, but why not? So he did. He started like a 20-city tour with the movie, and I remember it's funny because 3 days into it, he kind of was getting impacted by the movie and started asking the question to the audience, you know, if you guys, if this actually came true, do you know where you would go?
Wow.
And the irony is that he actually had the the honesty to say he didn't in front of a crowd, and he worked through his unbelief and disbelief and through an audience. And he ended up after that, you know, a pastor came up to him and said, you know, Brian, if anybody who really could come to the Lord right now, it seems that you're ready. And you've, you know, and it was all about, for him, it was about letting his anger go and believing. Because God had let him so down on his football career and, you know, in different ways of his life throughout the years. And so it's amazing if you guys, if you're on Facebook and you look at Brian Bosworth's page up to March 3rd, if you scroll backwards, it's amazing to see the transformation that the Lord did in his heart since March 3rd. And he is truly just a born speaker, born evangelist. And it's been just amazing to see God's growth in his life since last March.
That's great to hear. That's really great to hear. Wow.
Absolutely. You know, another great star you had in the movie was Maverick Von Ho, played Meat, by the way. I wanted to ask you, when you're making names for the characters, do you get one of those baby naming books and just draw from past characters? They're so innovative, actually.
That's exactly what we do. We take a baby book and we go, Grizz, that's a good
there you go.
For a character. Meat, that's another good, nice baby name.
Well, that's good. I thought maybe you just got hungry halfway through the book and say, all right, let's go for Meat. I don't know. But, you know, Maverick is the real deal. Wasn't he the ultimate fighting champion? He actually had 26 different titles.
Yeah, I don't know how many titles he had, but he is he's a tough dude, and he's a sweetheart and loves the Lord. And he just it certainly, you know, the first time that all these guys pulled up Maverick and MMA, you know, and then you got Sting, Wrestler, and Bosworth, and then their entire crew, they all came in on motorcycles, and I was like, wow, I actually... You know, I felt a bit intimidated as their Harleys or, you know, and I mean, just, you know, they were a mean, rough crew. And it's neat to see, though, you know, how the Lord, you know, they have their own different testimonies, and that's always cool to see.
Absolutely. One other item I'd like you to share, if you would, about him is that in the movie, of course, he's got this cap on that's very intimidating and it's simply Soul Collector. But I noticed there's actually another story behind where that title comes from, isn't there? From his family?
I don't know that whole the whole story there, except for the fact of just the, you know, I know that I think he was the Soul Collector. I think that was his title, or that's his like name.
I simply read somewhere that his father, when there's in the Philippines, actually saw that as a ministry to go out and collect the souls that other people couldn't reach, you know, with that being able to confront people in a very special way.
Hmm.
So I thought that was interesting that he carried that title into the movie in the cap. Just a very nice little way of keeping that memory special for his father, I thought.
Yeah, that is awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, can you share with us a little bit about your wife and actress, Andrea Logan White, who played Kat, the daughter of Hogg, and her role in the movie?
Yeah. What would you like to know?
is it like working with your wife and you're helping, I guess, y'all maybe discuss that even after the camera is not rolling. What's that like?
You know what? It is... it's an interesting thing because my wife knows me more than, you know, than anybody, and I know her more than anybody. And so acting is really about truth. And it's an interesting thing to be in scenes with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when as an actor, you try not to act because you don't want anybody to be able to see that you're acting. I mean, that's really the objective. And so it's just an interesting you know, we're each other's best fans, and then also, you know, of course, we know when the person's not dialed in, and we can kind of help with that. And so, it's always a little complicated when we do a movie together because of we have three children now, and so that complicates things a little bit. But it's also a wonderful thing when we get to do a movie together because it's just. You know, it's our whole family kind of gets involved in the process.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Actually, I was going to say, to her credit as an actress, I'd seen the previous movies she had been in and was always impressed how she comes across as this very warm, vibrant Christian wife, you know, that I can see you'd be so proud of. And then we come to these two movies, and she scared me, David. I'm sorry, but she scared me. I mean, I caught myself praying for you that night that you would be safe. I didn't know.
Oh, you see the many faces of our walk.
There you go. Tell me something, if you'd be so kind. Would you share with people how they might be able to use your films in order to reach their community, perhaps through the churches? I know, for example, through PureFlix, you've actually got a different contract arrangements for people to use them in churches and applications. If you could explain a little bit of that for our listeners.
Yeah, we have, as part of PureFlix, we have a PureFlix movie ministry. And kind of what this is it's to bring films to churches. You know, as we said, I think you said earlier in the broadcast that not everybody will go to a Sunday morning service, but they oftentimes will come to a movie night.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll allow the movies to take them where nobody could take them, even their best friends. You know, when the lights go out and they're watching a movie, our vulnerabilities come out. And so churches use these movies to reach into their communities. We provide the whole pack for them, everything they need from handbills, tickets to radio spots to, you know, everything to promote the movies, posters, make it a nice, easy, turnkey event type of thing. And then it's really, that's where we get a lot of letters from, you know, from pastors and saying, hey, you know, we had more people on this movie night than I've had in the last, whatever,
wow,
6 months to any service, you know, and people love it. And I think that's just because everybody loves movies. They love to identify with these. And then to be able to have a movie that has a very strong evangelistic message, or, you know, we have movies of all types. PureFlix, when we created PureFlix, a big thing for us was to create content on an ongoing basis in every genre within the Christian film. So, you know, we have comedies, dramas, farces, mysteries, thrillers. You know, you have it all, but hopefully all leading to the cross and leading with a message that uplifts and inspires their spirit instead of tearing it down.
Interesting. Could you take a moment and share some of your current projects you're working on so we can not only pray more effectively for you and your family, but also support them when they come to the theaters?
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, the biggest project that we have coming right now is called God's Not Dead. And it's based off that Newsboys song, God's Not Dead, the number one song. And there's a book written by Rice Brooks. And it's been an interesting thing. It's an apologetic movie that's hitting theaters in March 7th. We open on over 500 theaters. And it's been extraordinary. The trailer is up on YouTube right now. And within 2 weeks, without any promotion, we had over 400,000 views, and a lot of them were by atheists and people who were just enraged at the content of this movie. And I think the powerful thing about God's Not Dead is their tagline is, "What do you believe?" And it's all about what do you believe and why do you believe it. And I think as a believer, that's such an important question. And whether you're Christian or not Christian, you should know what you believe.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you believe, come see this movie and it'll help you. It'll help you work through that.
That's a great question.
And with it, we have Bible study guides for churches to be involved. There's the God test. There's all kinds of other materials that will go along with this movie. So this is a big movie for PureFlix. And we believe that it's important for our time. I don't know of any big apologetic movie that's come out in our marketplace. Especially, you know, we just believe the timing is right now. This is something the church really needs to be part of.
Well, David, I certainly thank you so much for your generosity with your time and certainly your talent and what you've given to us and the church community. But your ability to reach out as a tremendous gospel witness is so encouraging. And we'll definitely be praying and helping to get the word out about the new movie that will be coming out very soon. Again, thank you for being with us tonight. And please give our best to your wife, your children, and we're just so happy that you were able to give us this time. And so
yes,
thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. And
we appreciate it.
Please check out our Facebook, our PureFlix Facebook page, just for, you know, all the latest movies coming up. We release about 24 films a year, and so, you know, we have films for all occasions. We have Christmas movies, Silver Bells coming up, which is great. We just released the Book of Daniel this last week. And so, yeah, you can go there and you can find out all the information on our releases, our latest releases, and what's coming up. So,
great.
Thanks again.
Well, I ordered the Daniel movie today, so I'm looking forward to receiving it. And, again, you have a great evening, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@rightlions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.